Good morning. Today's daf in Baba Basra is Mem Beis. We are on Mem Aleph Amud Beis, four lines from the bottom of the Amud, five lines. We're starting with Shlosha Lekuchos Mitztarfin. Since 2 weeks ago, we started the third parak of the Baba Basra, and in which we talked about Chazaka, about how to create a kinyan Cheskas Gimel Shanim, where I'm going to be sitting on the property, and because of my occupancy on the property for 3 years, so I'm going to be acquiring the property. It's a topic now that has been the Gemara's covered at length. So one of the longest parak mishas in terms of page numbers. The 30 blot of this discussion, we're a little bit over a third of the way through, and continuing in the discussion regarding how to establish a kinyan cheskas gimel shanim. The Mishnah gives us now a very detailed case. Shlosha lekuchos mitztarfin. But basically, if I have three people buying one from another, so they're going to be mitztarf. What exactly is the case over here? So let's take a look at the Rashbam, where he's going to give us the scenario of what happened. Sadash yeshedim shayso shel Reuven kol hayamim. So there's a property that belonged to Reuven, and witnesses said that Reuven has had this property for some time now. Ve'echzik ba'shana Shimon shana. Now Shimon's sitting on the property for a year. Now Shimon bought it from Reuven. Let's assume that he claimed that he bought it from Reuven. In fact, we don't have to assume that. The Rashbam tells us kiton she kaname Reuven. Yeah, that's his taina. His claim is that he bought it from Reuven. And now what Shimon does is v'machra umachra Shimon Levi. He sells it then now to Levi b'shtar. And he does it with documentation. So now we have the second transfer of this property from Shimon to Levi with a document. The Echzik Levi Shana. Levi now sitting on the property for a year. V'achakach machra Levi LeYehuda. Levi now in turn sells the property to Yehuda because of Lo Shtar Mechira. And again, there's a shtar for that as well. Kedula Kaman, as with the Gemara is going to articulate later on. V'echzik Ba Shana. And he's on the land for a year. Harei Shal Shanim. So we're going to now take the aggregate total of the years that Shimon, Levi, and Yehuda were on the land. Reuven's the Marakama. Reuven's the original owner of the property. And he sold it to Shimon. We have no documentation to this sale. Shimon sold it to Levi with a shtar. Levi sold the land to Yehuda with a shtar. And between Shimon, Levi, and Yehuda, they were on the land for a total now of 3 years. The Asa Reuven, I'm reading the Rashbam. The Asa Reuven become Arir. Now Reuven comes along and says, wait 1 second, I'm challenging. Now he's challenging at the end of the 3 years. So is it right? While it's in Yehuda's possession. So is it too late or is it not too late for him to challenge? And here now is the back and forth between Reuven and Yehuda. Reuven saying to Yehuda, I never sold it to Shimon. Like what's going on over here? And Yehuda says, well, what do you mean? Collectively, we've been on this land now for 3 years. Okay, and you never say anything. Now, v'shem shalacha mimcha shanu abay mikolchal. Now, admittedly, this is Yehuda's counter argument to Reuven. Admittedly, we all understand that we're all coming from the koach of Shema. We understand that. But lo hayaloli zar b'shtar yosem egim oshanim. But right now, let's consider. If Shimon were still the current owner of this property right now, would he need a shtar right now? No. He wouldn't need a shtar now. So we're coming from his koach, and therefore, we're good. Reuven may shiv. Now, Reuven's counter argument to that is, Lefisha kol echa mechem, lo hechzik shal shanim, ela shana, lo chashalim chosha, yitza rosha, tem yireim lachzi, kedamachzi inshi. So now Reuven's counter argument is, wait one second. You notice that, basically, how are you treating the land? You guys are treating the land like a hot potato. Right, that land is bouncing around. Reuven sells it to Shimon. Shimon sells it to Levi. You know why it's a hot potato? It's the right. I use the expression over here literally. You know when something's hot, it's because it's stolen. So in other words, none of you all realize that this property is not really a secured owned property. It's not free and clear. In other words, you all knew that there was something fishy with the property. That's why you're selling it back and forth. And if one person would have held on to land for 3 years and I didn't protest, fine. But that's not what happened. I didn't even feel like I needed to protest, as each one of you only occupied the land for 1 year. And I didn't even know that you sold the property. Meaning, look what's going on. The property is being sold hand to hand, and I didn't even know about it. So we have a lot of exchange over here between Reuven and Yehuda. So Reuven says, I'm the original owner and I'm challenging. Yehuda is saying, yeah, but we've been here for 3 years. Now we collectively have been here for 3 years. right? Shimon, year number one, Levi, year number two, me, Yehuda, year number three. And so we collectively have been here for 3 years. So whose argument are we going to favor? Are we going to favor the Reuven argument? Or are we going to favor the Yehuda argument? We don't have to wonder that much. The Gemara already gave us the answer. I'm just going to reread the Gemara. Shlosha lekuchos mitzarfit. So the answer is they combine. Meaning the collective 3 years of these three people are going to combine, and so that now Yehuda's claim of that we've been here for Cheskes Gimel Shanim for a total of 3 years is a valid claim. Okay, now why? So again, I turn to the Rashbam one more time. No, one last time, but one more time. There's a lot of Rashbam today. So I turn to the Rashbam again, and he writes, Halakuchos v'yafsid Reuven. Reuven's going to lose out. Why? Dekeven de'bishtar lachu zemizeh, kidemefarash rav besamach, edem shebishtar afku lakala, v'yada Reuven. So here's the story. You see, every subsequent sale, from Shimon to Levi, from Levi to Yehuda, since it was done with the shtar, that is public record. And therefore, it should be known. It is known, that sale. And so therefore, no longer can Reuven make the claim, well, I didn't even know about the sale. That's simply an illegitimate claim. Because once it's sold with the shtar, so that creates a call, that creates a public record, and therefore, Reuven can no longer say, I didn't know about it. The Rashbam writes, Umadalo Micha Hifsid. And now, it was Reuven's responsibility to make a protest, because he knows that the land was first held by Shimon, then by Levi, then by Yehuda. He knew it. The shtar demands that he knew it. And parenthetically, writes the Rashbam, well, it's not parenthetical because the Gemara is going to pick up on this point in just a moment, but let's say there was no shtar sale from Shimon to Levi, from Levi to Yehuda, but the sale that transpired between Shimon and Levi was just in front of witnesses with no documentation, so that's not going to be enough. Meaning, and then I cannot collectively put the 3 years together in order to create a Cheskas Gimel Shanim. But with a document, you can. Okay. So now back to the Gemara.
I don't understand. If the shtar has a call, how come Shimon's shtar was not... There was no call for Shimon's shtar?
There was. In other words, Shimon said, I bought it. And but why doesn't Shimon have a document right now?
Because
I understand that, but I'm going to explain.
So we're saying it's a false star?
No, we're saying that Shimon didn't need to hold on to a star.
He flipped it.
In other words, Shimon sold it. Shimon sold it to Levi with a star. Levi sold it to Yehuda with a star. Now, where's Shimon's star right now? It's after 3 years.
I understand, but there was a call originally when he bought it.
So he's saying there was.
Yeah, well, how can he protest and say, I didn't sell it to you? If there's a call, I mean, it's like,
right.
There's a star.
Right.
He still has to hold it, even though...
No, the Gemara's point is that Shimon doesn't have to hold it.
Shimon doesn't have, understand.
Right.
On the original one,
right.
when he bought it,
right,
there was a call. So why should there be any contest that Shimon didn't buy it?
I'm not following what the...
There's a call about a shtar.
I think there's no shtar for sale.
Shimon right now cannot produce a shtar. Shimon doesn't have a shtar.
At the time he bought it, there was a call.
Good. Good. So and now what?
He knows he bought it.
Right, good.
So how can he say, no, I didn't sell it to you? How can
anyone? Well, right now, in other words, that's every time you have a debate between the Marakama and the Machzik, that's basically what the debate sounds like. Meaning the Marakama is saying, I own it. The Machzik says, no, you sold it to me. And now the question is, where is the documentation? I understand. If it was a public event and it went on public record, so then, yeah.
So that's what it is, a call.
Every time there's a dispute, this is what it's going to look like. This is exactly what it's going to look like.
Not really, because... I don't know that I paid you money. Nobody knows that I paid you money for this thing. But if there's a star, if there's a call, it's like public knowledge.
I understand. Okay, I hear you, but nothing changed between now and the beginning of the parak. It's always going to look like this. Yeah. And it's messy.
Read the 21st note.
Right.
Wouldn't there be able to be witnesses?
Huh?
The star yet, witnesses.
Exactly. So, by definition, a star means there were witnesses.
Right.
In other words, yeah, but we're talking about proof of ownership. Meaning, in other words, again, Shimon's saying that there was a sale. Reuven's saying, no, there wasn't. And now, I guess the witness is right. In other words, if you were able to procure witnesses, so then that would be good. But in other words, we have no documentation that this happened. And again, after 3 years, you don't need documentation. And now the only question the Gemara is dealing with is, can I string together these 3 years, even though in year two and three, they were owned by two other people? Okay. Now, Amar Rav Vekulam Bishtar. So now back to the Gemara. And Rav says, this works, but it only will work when buyer number two and buyer number three, in our case, that would be Levi and Yehuda, only when they bought it with a shtar. But if Levi bought it from Shimon, only with Aden, and not with a shtar. And if Yehuda would have bought it from Levi, only with Aden and not with a shtar, that's insufficient. Because that's not going to generate enough of a kol. To which the Gemara says, really? Witnesses don't create a kol? Of course they do. Now, do you really mean to tell me that according to Rav, once you have a shtar, that's going to create a kol? That's going to create public record. And if you only have witnesses, that's not going to create a kol. The Gemara says, Rav says that when you sell a land and you sell it in front of witnesses, so that creates a lien on the property of the seller. Remember, we say time and again that when a seller sells property, so there is an implicit guarantee on that sale. So that in the event that the some, let's say, creditor comes and takes the land away from the buyer, from the lokeach, now the lokeach goes back to the mocher and says, look, you sold me the land, I gave you the money, the land was taken away from me, it's your guarantee, it's your responsibility to make good on me. And that's correct, and that's accurate. And not only that, furthermore, not only is it the mocher's responsibility to make good on that property that was taken away from the lokeach, but not only can the lokeach go after properties that are free and clear on the possession of the mocher, of the seller, but he can even go after nechas meshubadim, encumbered properties, sold properties. They have a lien attached to those properties for the guarantee of this sale. And all this can be created just through witnesses. And you don't need documentation. So the Gemara says, wait one second. Haslam lekuchos inu, afsidu nafshayu. So the Gemara says, well, let's understand. Over there, we're talking about a sale of a property. And we have a general, we have an expression in English, buyer beware. The halacha subscribes to that idea of buyer beware. When you're buying a property from somebody, you have to do your due diligence. You have to do a background check. You have to make sure that that seller who's selling it to you has no outstanding liens and obligations. Right. Otherwise known as the title search. Correct. So when you're buying a property from somebody, so you need to be careful. However, over here, in our case, we're talking about the Marakama. We're talking about the original owner. In other words, there's no buyer over here. He's the original owner. So we're going to say like this. Basically, then this is how the Rashbam presents it. Basically, we're saying like this. Look, when I have any kind of transaction and it's documented, meaning I have a shtar, so that creates a call that's public record. With or without an investigation, everybody's going to know about it. So in the original case that we started this morning, where I had Reuven selling it to Shimon, then Shimon turns around, sells it to Levi with a shtar, Levi sells it to Yehuda with a shtar, that shtar creates public record. Without any investigation, everybody knows, we're assuming, everybody knows that the land was sold from Shimon to Levi and from Levi to Yehuda. And you don't have to do any type of fact-checking or investigation, and there doesn't need to be any due diligence, even without due diligence. Everybody knows about the sale. Fine. And Masha Ain Kane, if I was only sold in front of witnesses, so there it's discoverable, but only with an investigation. So in the case of the Marakama, where you have an original owner, and then the land gets exchanged between Shimon to Levi and from Levi to Yehuda, but it's not done with a document, and it's only done with witnesses. So you can't expect the Marakama to know about it. Yes, it's discoverable, but he's not required to do due diligence to find out how the land transferred from one to another. Mashenkin, however, in the case where you are a buyer buying a land from somebody, you do have the responsibility of discovering whether or not there are outstanding liens and obligations against this person. So the Gemara says that's the difference between the cases. We're on the top of Mem Beis Amud Aleph. The Gemara says, "Umi Amar Rav Hachi V'Atanan." The Gemara says, "Now wait one second. What about the following? Amavis Chaver B'Shar Govim Nechasim Meshubadim. Ayide Edim Govim Nechasim Nechorim. That if you borrow money from somebody and you borrow it with a document, so that creates a lien, and that Shibud now allows you to collect from properties. But if you only are borrowing money Ayide Edim, but not through a note, so Govim Nechasim Nechorim." Then you can only collect from properties that he has on hand, free and clear, but you cannot go after properties that were sold off already. So, Now, the Gemara is saying, again, we're basically at somewhat of an impasse, because Rav says that when you buy a property with Edim, that creates a kol. Well, if you're buying a property with Edim and that creates a kol, so if you're borrowing money in front of Edim, shouldn't that also create a kol? And shouldn't that also create an encumbrance on properties? So the Gemara says, V'chitema Rav Tanuhu Palig. And maybe what you'll tell me is, okay, Rav argues with the Mishnah. Meaning Rav has the status of a Tana, and he's entitled to argue with a Mishnah. But the Gemara says that that's true, but that's not going to help us over here, because Rav Shmuel Darmit Tavaya Melva Apeinu Gove Lomina Yershim Lomina Lekuchos. We know that Rav and Shmuel both have the opinion that if it's a Melva Apeh, if it's an R loan, and it's not documented, so then you do not get to collect it from Yershim, and you do not get to collect it from Lekuchos. Meaning that there is no Shiba that's created by an R loan, only by documented loans.
Does it mean that by definition, a Melva Apeh has two witnesses at all times?
It doesn't have to be, but even if...
Because, I mean, in this example, the witnesses may be missing. So
But the point is that even if there are witnesses, it's still not going to create a sheep. It's not going to create an encumbrance. So the Gemara says, so what do you see over here? Rav also subscribes to this idea, to which the Gemara says, Milvaz Vinika Ramis. So the Gemara says, wait one second. Let's just make sure that we understand. We were challenging Rav based on a question where we were comparing a loan to a sale. The Gemara says, let's not compare a loan to a sale. Why? Because Milva Kayazif Bitsina. I'm sorry. Milva Ki Kayazif Bitsina Kayazif. Gemara says, look, when it comes to a loan, people do not want it to go on public record that they need money. Once it's out there that they need money, so then people are going to take advantage of them. The properties are going to be in distress. People are going to know, oh, this guy's desperate. This guy's going to be ready to sell. He needs the money desperately in order to pay back loans. So when it comes to loans, people will do so privately. So when I have a loan and it's not documented and it's only done in front of witnesses, so then it's understood just by the nature of the loan in of itself, that people will do so privately. And therefore, you cannot expect it to go on any kind of public record, and that's why it does not create a shibud on any of the properties. However, so that his properties do not get deflated, and people take advantage of the fact that he's desperate for money. However, zvini mandazava aren befar hesizavan. However, when it comes to the sale, people always make sales go as public as possible. Why? Because basically, I want to auction off my property. How do I auction off my property? I market. And I tell people that my property is for sale, so that there will be a greater demand for my property and that the price will increase. So the Gemara says the very nature of a loan is different than the nature of a sale. Nature of a loan is done, it's done privately. So there, when it comes to a loan, what is the only way that we can create enough of a kol so that there will be an encumbrance on any and all my properties, so that it will be mortgaged against the loan? Only when it's on document, only when it's a shtar. But when it comes to the sale of land is by definition done in a public forum, so therefore it doesn't matter if the sale was done through documentation, doesn't matter if the sale was only done through witnesses. Still, that's going to create enough of a kol so that there will be an encumbrance on my property, so that in the event that I default on the buyer, meaning when I say default on the buyer, I mean that properties are going to be taken away from the buyer from a previous creditor, so then I'm going to have to make good, and even if the sale was only done with witnesses, still the nature of a sale of property is that it was done publicly, and therefore it's going to go on public record. Okay, Adkan. So where do we stand right now in the Gemara? Basically as follows. We had the starting point of the Gemara, and what got us going on this whole discussion is whether or not we can string together three different buyers of the property in order to create Cheskes Gemel Shanim. And the Gemara's point is you can, but in a limited circumstance. In other words, if Shimon buys the land from Reuven, Shimon turns around and sells it to Levi with a document, Levi turns around and sells it to Yehuda with a document, under those circumstances, because there was documentation in the second and third year of the sale, so now, under those circumstances, now the last buyer can turn around and say to the original owner, look, we've been here for 3 years, and you know we've been here for 3 years, and what makes our claim that you knew about it? only documentation. Because once documentation was affected in sales in transactions 2 and 3, so now we can, the original owner can no longer say, hey, I didn't know about it. No, you did know about it, because it was done through a shtar. Masha Enkin, if it was only done through Eidos, so that is a little bit more under the radar, and then the original owner can make the claim, I didn't know about it. But if it was done through documentation, now the original owner can no longer say, I didn't know about it, and now that's 3 years where the land's been out of his possession, and he didn't challenge it. Under those circumstances, you can string 3 years together. Tanu Rabbanan.
The guarantee that the seller gives, that also have a deadline, or no?
No, in other words, that's just an open-ended guarantee. Right? It's a guarantee for the sale. Tanu Rabbanan achla av shana v'aben shtayim ha'av shtayim v'aben shana ha'av shana v'aben shana v'lokeach shana harei zechazaka. Okay, and the theme of so far what we've been discussing this morning in terms of stringing together three different years. So let's say the father bought the land and he's been on it for a year, and then Rachmanis the father dies, but then the son who inherited from the father was there for the next 2 years. So now we are putting together a year of occupancy of the father together with that of the son of 2 years, or Havshayim Vaben Shana, we're just going to flip around, dad's been there for 2 years, then he died, and then son picked it up for another year. Or the third case of the Brisa, dad was there for a year, then he dies, son was there for a year, and then he sold it, and now the sale of the son, Lokech, was there for a year, the seller was there for a year. So now we're stringing together 3 years. One of dad, one of the son, one of the lokech. So this three are going to combine for a chazaka. Okay. Lememra. So what have we just learned together? The lokech is lekala. That when you have somebody buying it from the son, so that creates a kol. Meaning, because look, by virtue of the fact that we're taking these 3 years and we're stringing them together, again, that means that if there was a marakama, if there was an original owner, he's expected to know about the transfer from the father to the son, from the son to the lokeach. He's expected to know this. Why? Because by virtue of the fact that we're saying it is a chazaka, it means now that from the original owner's standpoint, all this was for him knowledge, public knowledge, and therefore, if in fact he wanted to challenge it, he should have challenged it. By virtue of the fact that he didn't challenge it, means now that it actually is going to be owned by the whoever sitting on it at the end of that third year. Where's the document? We no longer need it, being that it's been 3 years. Uriminu, the Gemara says, and on that, I'm going to ask a stira based on the following. Achla bifnei ha'av shana, ubifnei ha'ben shtayim, bifnei ha'av shtayim, bifnei ha'ben shana, bifnei ha'av shana, bifnei ha'ben shana, bifnei lokeach shana, harei zu chazaka. So the Gemara says, here we're going to go in the other, we're doing the inverse. Where? I claim I bought it from the father, and I'm now sitting on this land for a year while the father was alive, and then dad died. So now, in theory, this land gets inherited to the son. Now, from my perspective, there's no such inheritance, meaning I'm the owner. But now the land gets passed over to the son in theory, and now once again I'm sitting on that second year and I'm eating. And we go through the case where it was dad's for a year and then son's for 2 years. Again, it's not the son's for 2 years. Theoretically, it would have been the son for 2 years. Or dad for 2 years, the son for 1 year. Or the third case of the Brisa, dad for 1 year, son for 1 year, and then the son sold it. Now, if you think about it, that sale has got to be the strangest thing out there. Because what are we talking about? Again, my claim is that I bought it from dad. Now, I've been sitting on this land, eating its yield for year one, meaning for the last year of dad's life, then for the second year, meaning for the second year that the son inherited, and now for the third year. Now, in that third year now, the son's selling it. Now, how in the world can the son be selling it when I claim that I bought it, and I'm sitting here on the land for the third year? So what the Bryce is telling us is, harei zu chazaka. This is considered a chazaka because no one ever challenged my ownership of the land. Now, all this should bother us because we learned pretty recently, and the Gemara now is going to hit us again with the same point. Now, challenges can come in many different ways. Perhaps one of the best ways to challenge my ownership of the land is if the original owner or an extension of the original owner, meaning like the son of the original owner, goes ahead and sells the property within 3 years. What better challenge could there possibly be than them exercising their ownership than them selling it? So the Gemara says, it makes exactly that point. Now, if we assume that by virtue of the fact that when the son sells the land to somebody else, that creates a kol. That's common knowledge. That's public record. So if that's true, so I don't understand the brisa we just learned together. The brisa we just learned together makes no sense. Dad, I bought the land from dad. He only had 1 year left. Then the son came along. He was year two. And then the son sold it to somebody, and that's year three. Gemara says, basically, stop right there. Once the son sells it at the end of year two, that, by definition, is a macha. There's in fact, ein lecha macha gedola mizu, just according to the Gemara. There's no better challenge than son selling the land. Clearly, I'm not the owner of the land. How can the son sell it? That is a macha. That's a challenge to my occupancy. So Amar of Papa, so on this point, the Gemara, the question's so strong. You need to come up with some sort of answer. The Gemara says, Amar of Papa, kitanya hi, but mochir sa dosav stam. So our Papa says, the brisa we just learned will only be a chazaka for the occupier, only under a very limited set of circumstances. Notably, where? The son did sell the property, but not the son didn't sell this particular property. Look, as the Rashman points out over here, if the son sold this particular property, that's a challenge to my occupancy. I can no longer claim after 3 years, hey, I've been here for 3 years unchallenged. No. We are only discussing a case where the son sold a block of estate that he inherited, but nondescript, not specific. Now, exactly what that means, I'm not totally sure, right? The Rashbam simply writes, "Amar Papa LaOlam Em Lachar DeLokeach It's Like Kala VaHacha Amay Lo Chashrei Machal LeKichas Lokeach Min Aben Bishum DeMachal Lo Aben Kol Sedosav Stam." He sold the fields generically, Osam Shayusha Aviv, meaning basically whatever belonged to my father, I sold. But he was nondescript; he was not specific about what was included in the sale. Now, whoever bought the land said, oh, and you know what? I got this field as well. Pointing to the field that the occupier has now been sitting on for 2 years. So, okay. So under those circumstances, then and only then can the occupier say, no, this land wasn't part of the sale. Look, let's go back to the sale. The sale was a very nondescript, non-specific sale. The sale was just whatever he inherited. I'm telling you, he didn't inherit this land. I bought this land. Okay. Under those circumstances, that would not be considered a macha. That would not consider a protest. But if the land that he sold was specifically this land that the occupier is sitting on, and it has not been 3 years, that by definition is going to be a challenge. That's a macha. And obviously then the occupier can no longer claim that he is the owner of the land. Okay, Adkan. All right, so where do we stand right now in terms of the end of the sugya? So you can string years together, even though there are different owners owning the land during those 3 years. But as the Gemara limited, the Gemara says that you can only string those years together if it's clear to the original owner that the land was transferred from one person to another. And the only level of clarity that can be created so that the original owner knows that the land was transferred from one to another is only with a shtar. Edom and other areas of halacha do create a kol, but for the purposes of the marakama, the only thing that creates enough of a kol is only when the land is sold from one to another with the shtar. But if that's done, so then you can string together 3 different years. Okay. We start the next Mishnah, and our next Mishnah takes us through the following point. There are going to be basically a number of different scenarios where a person is on my property, but in the context in which we're partners, he's working for me. In other words, it's just the context is screaming out. He's not occupying the land. He's not creating an ownership. It's basically he's here because it's understood that I gave him permission to be here. And once we have created that kind of context, it could be 5 years, it could be 10 years, it could be a really long time, but it's not going to create a chazaka. Now, similarly, We could be talking about metalton as well. We could talk about movables. Now, I understand that's not the general theme of our parak. The general theme of our parak is land. But even if we're talking about movable items, right? If I'm now holding on to that watch, it's a nice watch. I like it. So if I'm holding on to that watch, so at that point in time, I now can say I'm the owner. Why? Because I can always say make the claim. L'kuchi biadi, I bought it from him. That is generally speaking true. However, if I am a craftsman and my job is to fix watches, so again, the context is clear that I'm holding somebody else's watch, not because I own it, not because I bought it from him, because I'm fixing it. So as a craftsman, I no longer have the ability to hold on to an item and say, hey, the item belongs to me. So it's a similar idea, and the Mishnah is going to blend these two ideas together. That context will demand that you are not the owner, based on the nature of what you're doing here. Okay, and with that in mind, let's start the Mishnah. Ha'umnim. So when we talk about a craftsman, so that was the first example I just gave, and that's talking about movables. I'll clarify that even better in just a moment. Ha'umnim v'ashutvim v'arisim. So a craftsman and a partner here talking about land, and an arisim, a sharecropper, that's also talking about land, and apotropin and a custodian, ein laim chazaka. They could be on the property for multiple years, and I say property, I'm talking specifically about a shutuf, an arisim, and an apotropis. So they could be on land for multiple years, but just because of the nature of why they're here, so that means that they're never going to create a cheskas gemel shanim, because it's understood I'm here because I have permission to be here. Let's go through the Rashma. The Rashma over here says ein lam chazaka. Now the Rashma is really here going to be explaining the craftsman really doesn't belong in the Mishnah, as the craftsman is not talking about property; it's talking about movables. But the Rashbam says it's basically the same idea. Now, I already kind of articulated this point, but I'm going to read the Rashbam. Ein lam chazaka v'lo b'cheska shal shanim ayri d'stam uman lo shaykh ala b'metatlan. A craftsman is not talking about property. We're talking here about movable items. V'cheska shal shanim lo nemer ala b'mekarke. And when we're talking about occupancy of 3 years creating an acquisition, that's talking about property. Aval b'metatlan mishu mokhza b'shal chaver afilo sha'acha shanu roen shiyotzi mitachas yadu af apish yesh lachaver. When we're talking about movables, the moment I'm holding onto an item, even though the item had a previous owner, but the moment I'm holding onto it, it's mine. Why? With the strength and power of saying lakuchi biyadi. Now, we already pointed out earlier, if witnesses see me grabbing it from somebody, so then I don't have this kind of chazaka. In other words, if witnesses will attest to the fact that I'm a thief, we are talking about where I'm just simply found to have been holding somebody else's item, and I can make the claim I bought it. And what about what kind of validation? What kind of evidence do I need that I bought it? The answer is, as the Rashbam is about to tell us, none. Stam lokech metaltem mechaver below edim who kone. Generally speaking, when you buy an item, you buy so without witnesses. Uvelo star, you don't document a sale of movables. Chutz midvarim haasuyim laashul askeo v'amr lekuchanim biyadi deinonayim neman kidekayim lam b'mesech shavuos. One notable exception, says the Rashbam, as per the Gemara in Shavuos, is that if I'm holding on to an item that generally speaking is rented out, or generally speaking is lent out, meaning when I'm holding my neighbor's shovel. Generally speaking, my neighbor lends out his shovel. So I can know, under those circumstances, I can't say, hey, the shovel belongs to me. No, your neighbor lent it to you. So that's a notable exception to this basic rule. But the basic rule is that if I'm holding somebody's item, that creates a de facto sense of ownership. And with all that in mind, now we understand the point of our Mishnah, is that if you're a craftsman, you no longer have the right to say lakuch biyadi, that I bought it. You're a craftsman. Everybody's handing over their item for you to fix it. So you no longer have the ability to say lakuchu biyadi. Adkan, that's the Rashbam's explanation of our Mishnah. Now again, umnin is different in that it's talking about metaltalin, but it's the same basic idea. Based on the context of who he is, that's why he's holding an item, and therefore he doesn't have a chazaka. Now we go back to the Mishnah. Now again, the Mishnah went on to discuss partners and sharecroppers and custodians. That's talking about property, but it's the same idea. they're here for a reason, and therefore they can't create a chazaka of cheskes gemol shanim.
So when you lend somebody, what are you supposed to do? Have a witness that you lend it? Because I can't say once he holds it, he...
Right.
He's supposed to do it...
Seemingly, yeah.
Question. With regards to the partners, doesn't this contradict that story we had about two brothers who were there?
Very good. That's excellent. That's an excellent question. In fact, the Rashbam later today will ask your question. Okay, good. Perfect. Okay. Lo leish chazaka b'nechzei ishta v'lo leish chazaka b'nechzei ba'ala. A woman comes into a marriage with property. That property is called nechzei malug. We've discussed this time and again. Now, they're married. The husband's going to be sitting on that property for some time. But again, it's the same idea. We understand the context. They're married. That's why the husband's on the property. The marriage could last for, God willing, decades. The husband's never going to acquire the property in the event of death or divorce. The husband can no longer say, hey, it's mine. Look, I've been sitting on this property for years. Yes, that's true. But no, it's not a cheskes gemol shanim. The context screams out, you're not the owner. And similarly, a woman on her husband's property. Look, a husband has an obligation to support his wife, and she wants to eat. So he says, okay, go out to the field and have an orange. So, the example was a little crass, but yeah, in other words, but she has a right to be on her properties, and again, it's the same idea. She'll be there for years. Doesn't create a cheskes gemol shanim, and v'lo la'av b'nechzei ben v'lo la'ben b'nechzei av, and the son's on his father's property. The father's on the son's property. Again, they have the kind of relationship where, you know, dad's been on my property for years. Yeah, it's understandable. It's my father. He'll be on my property for years. That doesn't mean he becomes the owner. So again, the context screams to this idea that just because he's an occupant doesn't mean he becomes an owner. Now all this is true regarding cheskes gemol shanim. Aval benosim b'matana. However, let's say I want to give you the property. In other words, it's very clear now that I'm handing the property over to you. Or if I have my brothers who are dividing a property. Or I'm getting property from somebody who is a convert. He dies. There's no yoresh. Call the Olam Gavar. Right? Call Amaktim Gavar. Whoever gets there first is going to get it. So over here, now we are moving from Cheskes Gimel Shanim to the chazaka of kiddushin, meaning a chazaka that creates a kinyan, a proprietary act. And the Mishnah says, Na'al, v'gadah peretz, v'chol shu'ar is a chazaka. Now we're going to go back to how to create a chazaka through a proprietary act. So, you lock the door. You fence it in. You make an opening and allowing yourself access to the property. You do a proprietary act to the property, and that creates a chazaka. But not to be confused with chazaka, meaning there are two types of chazaka. Cheskes gemol shanim, which we've been discussing for the last 2 weeks, and we'll continue discussing, versus a proprietary act that creates the king. And the Mishnah says, once the person is giving it to you, or you're getting it from Hefker, so then we are talking about a proprietary act. Top of Membez Amad Bez. Avu of Shmuel v'Levi Tani. Shutif. Ein lo chazaka. The father Shmuel and Levi, when they taught our Mishnah, meaning they had Yersos of our Mishnah, and when they taught of our Mishnah, they added Shutif to the list of people who do not have a chazaka. Which is good, because if you look back at our Mishnah, we have that Yersa as well. So we are in good company. We have the same Girsa of the Mishnah as Shmuel, as the father of Shmuel and Levi. Sigazant. Shmuel tani oman einlo chazaka. But Shmuel says, teaches us that an oman does not have a chazaka, but shutav yeshlo chazaka. But Shmuel does not have the word shutav as part of our Mishnah, because Shmuel is of the opinion that a shutav can create a chazaka. Now, this requires explanation. Meaning, how is it that a shutav can create a chazaka? Meaning, when I presented the Mishnah, kind of made sense. It was intuitive. Meaning that if we're partners, so you're going to be on the land for...
The marriage, basically.
Right. Manage. Correct. We're correct. Yeah. Correct. You're going to be on the land for a long time. And now, after 3 years of being on the land, you're now going to make the claim, hey, I've been here for 3 years, therefore it's mine. What do you mean? No, we're partners. Right? By virtue of the fact that we're partners, of course you're going to be on the land. So let's understand this halacha of Shmuel, where Shmuel, first of all, doesn't have the girsa of Shutaf in the Mishnah, and furthermore, not only does he not have the girsa, but his halacha is that a Shutaf can create a Cheskes Kemoshonim. Under what circumstance would that be so? So now there are going to be three statements of Shmuel, and we're going to clarify these three statements as we go through the Gemara today and tomorrow, but really, for our purposes right now, it's the first statement that we are really focusing our attention on. Shmuel's first statement is that a shutuf can create a chazaka one on another, meaning that when you have partners and they are partners over a land, and one has been sitting there by himself for 3 years, then at the end of those 3 years, he can say, "Hey, I'm the de facto buyer of this land. I bought out my partner. You notice my partner hasn't been here for the last 3 years. It's because I bought him out. Where's the documentation? Well, it's been 3 years." And it's gone unchallenged. Okay. We'll explain this better in just a moment, but that's the first statement to Shmuel. Two, Me'idin Ze'alzeh, they could testify one over the other. You could make the argument that Nogea Be'edus, they have a vested interest, and therefore they are not impartial. And you could make the argument that they cannot testify one for another. Shmuel says they can. Again, we'll explore this line also later on. And now some shomisachar zelazeh. And also in terms of the custodial relationship they have one to another, they're considered a shomisachar. Meaning if they're asked to wash something, and so as being partners, they take turns. I'll watch one day, you watch the other day. Now, even though they are not paying one another, but that reciprocity that they have to one another is tantamount to compensation, and therefore, in terms of a custodial relationship, they're considered shomer sachar, not shomer chino. And therefore, they're going to be chayvin geneva v'aveda. So, again, statements number two and three are, for our purposes right now, not the focus. So focus is on statement number one, that shutfim can create a chazaka against one another. Okay. And so you really, in of itself, that needs explanation, which we're about to do. And on top of that, also goes against our Mishnah, because our Mishnah says the shutf cannot create a chazaka. Okay. But again, Shmuel had a girsa in our Mishnah, did not have the word shutaf. Now, I know Hedy, right? If I know you well enough, you're going to ask me, how can Shmuel disagree with his father? Meaning, Avud Shmuel had the girsa of shutaf in his Mishnah, and then his son did not have the girsa of shutaf in his Mishnah. Okay, and you, not only do I know your question, but you already know my answer. I don't know. Baruch Hashem, we've been together for a long time.
Because in all the other cases, you can challenge. You can't challenge.
Right.
Here you can challenge.
Okay. Fine. And again, we're going to see in just a moment, the Gemara is going to explore this position of Shmuel a little bit better and clarify it a little bit better. So, Ramile Rabbi Abba le Rabbi Yehuda b'ma'arasa de Beirav Zakai. Now, in the Girsa that we have, it's in there was a question contained in the cave of Rabbi Zakai. It's a strange language. The Bach has not the Girsa Marasa, but Matsarta in the Olive Press. Okay, either way. Now, in other words, the following was found. Now the Gemara says, now we have another statement of Shmuel, which is that a shutuf is considered yorid birshos. He goes in with permission, meaning that when we have partners, so understood in the partnership that my partner can come onto the property anytime he wants. It's understood. We're partners. And he also has the same understanding with me. I can come onto the property anytime I want. And so being that we have permission to come on the property anytime we want, so therefore, my occupancy can never result in ownership. I'm not occupying the property. I'm here under his blessing and with my partner's permission to do so. So, basically, the two statements of Shmuel cannot go hand in hand. On one hand, Shmuel says that partners can create a chazaka, where now, if I've been here by myself for 3 years, I'm now the owner. On the other hand, the other statement of Shmuel is that the partner goes in under the auspices and under the permission of the other partner, which means it can't create a chazaka. So, lav l'mem d'shuta v'en l'chazaka. And isn't that basically what Shmuel's saying? Is that when I'm coming in with permission, it means I cannot create an occupancy which results in ownership. So, the Gemara says, lo kasha. The Gemara says, okay. The two statements of Shmuel can coexist, meaning there's going to be a distinction being made. Ha denachis akula, ha denachis apalga. And basically, we're going to say like this. We're going to say that it depends whether or not the partner goes into the entire property and assumes assumes ownership over the entire property for 3 years versus whether the partner comes in on his half of the property for the next 3 years. Okay, now, we now have a chiluk, we have a distinction to be made. The only thing left to do, which is not going to be easy, is when does the distinction, which case is it that you are now going to create a chazaka? When you're sitting on the entire property for 3 years, or where you're sitting on your portion of the property for 3 years? And the Gemara says, Amilala Haigisa, Amilala Haigisa. And the Gemara says, now, in terms of how to apply the distinction, you could really say it in, you can say it in two different ways. And let's finish today with the Rashbam. I'm going to finish here with this point over here, and let's see the Rashbam. Amilala Haigisa, the Rashbam. Rashbam is halfway down on the page. You see, let's say it one way. One way we could say it is that, look, if I'm a partner and I'm on the whole property for 3 years, that's not ownership. That's the nature of the partnership. I come in for 3 years and I assume the entire property, and you come in for 3 years and you assume the entire property. And if I may, by the way, just in terms of explaining this side of the answer, meaning what makes for healthy partnerships? If we give each other room and space. In other words, I don't want to get in your way, you don't want to get in my way. So here's what we'll do. I'll work the land for 3 years, then you work the land for 3 years. So there, it is going to be a partnership in which we'll work. In other words, we'll be partners, but we'll work independently. However, if let's say for these next 3 years, I'm on my half of the property, and it's been unchallenged. You see, because the accepted minhag is, I'll take the property for 3 years, then you take the property for 3 years. By virtue of the fact that I've been exclusively on, quote unquote, my half of the property for 3 years, you know what that must mean? It must mean that we dissolve the partnership. And that this half belongs to me. The fact that I've been here for 3 years on my half means that this is mine. Okay. So that's one way to explain the distinction between Shmuel. So, when do partners not create a chazaka? When I'm sitting on the entire property for 3 years. When do shutfas create a chazaka? When I've been on my half of the property for 3 years. That's one way to say it. There's also another way to say it. And I see what I did. I'm sorry. I should have read. In other words, I went out of order in the Rashbam. Okay, apologize. Move up in the Rashbam now. Four wide lines down. Yesh metartz and binyan zeh. Okay, it's the same point. I just went out of order. Okay, apologies. Hadam Shmuel shutav yeshul chazaka nanachis lekulu diminik shutvim lito b'shutvus peres kol shana v'shana. We could say it the other way, where it is that the minhag was that every year we're going to be dividing the peres of the field. And so therefore, it's expected that both of us are going to be on the field simultaneously every year. And in terms of how we're going to divide the property, sometimes I'll go on my half, other years you'll go on this half, but in other words, we'll both be on the property simultaneously. And if I'm sitting on the entire property for 3 years and it's gone unchecked and unchallenged, so that means that I bought out your half, and that's how we can explain where if I'm sitting on the entire property I create a chazaka. So basically, look, there's a difference in Shmuel. On one hand, Shmuel says you acquire the entire property. On one hand, Shmuel says you acquire only, if you sit on the entire property, you create a chazaka. If you sit on your half, you create a chazaka. And we can explain it in either direction. Okay, and back to the Gemara, and the Gemara says, Amrila lahagisa. Ravina Amar, we'll finish up today with this. Ravina says, Hava hadanachasakula, velokasha hadi isbe din chaluka, adalais be din chaluka. Or we can explain Shmuel like this. look, I've been on the entire property for 3 years. You've been on the entire property for 3 years. Shmuel says it does create a chazaka. Shmuel says it does not create a chazaka. And the distinction is very simply the size of the property. If it's a substantial size property, then both of us should be on the property every single year. And we're not going to just sit there and exchange, I'll do some years, you'll do some other years. The property is big enough for the two of us. However, if it's a small property, where it doesn't have a din chaluka, where each one of us are not going to be getting 4 amos, so then this, you know, to borrow an old Western expression, right, this property ain't big enough for the two of us. And so therefore, it will be understood that we're going to have to share. Meaning, share meaning, take turns. I'll be here for some years, you'll be here for some years. Under those circumstances, then occupancy does not translate into chazaka. That's Ravina's way of resolving the two statements of Shmuel. Okay, we'll pause over here tomorrow. Gufa, we'll pick it up right at the point of Gufa. So let's just quickly recap. We finished off today discussing, we started this morning discussing whether or not we could string together various owners to create a cheskes gemel shanim. Under limited circumstances, the Gemara says you can. But only if each sale is recorded, it's on record, it's done with a shtar. We then turn to the Mishnah. If I'm on property, or if I'm holding on to your property, but with a context of and an understanding that I'm not the owner, so then I cannot create a chazaka. So examples that we have are craftsmen, partners, sharecroppers, custodians, a husband, a wife, a father, a son. It's just understood that the context is I'm not going to become the owner. I'm just here under the auspices of, you gave me permission to be here. And under that circumstance, we discussed the halach of Shmuel. Can partners ever create a chazaka? Shmuel said yes. Shmuel said no. And now it's just a question of how to distinguish his yes versus his no. So we can either say it is a function of whether being on the whole property or being on part of the property. And even there, that distinction can go in either in one of two ways. Or we could say the distinction is the size of the property, a small property versus a large property.